Hello and welcome to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Robert Johnson, a York Rite Mason and Knight Templar. Well, it's summertime, full blown. It's been 100 plus degrees every day this week in Illinois. I work outside. It is fair to say I'm pretty wiped out. I hope you all have been staying cool and hydrated. Being summertime, I thought we'd have some short articles related to that. But first, we'll start it off with a piece from the Illinois York Rite magazine. And this is from Volume 5, Number 6, Hiram Words, the official bimonthly publication of the Grand Royal Arch Chapter of the State of Illinois. June 2012, Boaz and Jenkins' Secret. Companion, David A. Miley, EHP. The April issue discussed a theory that the Ark of the Covenant was sequestered in a cave years before the Babylonian conquest of Jerusalem and was never captured. A different theory also posits that the Ark was hidden subterraneanly and takes note of an apparent discrepancy at the time of Jerusalem's fall to Babylon. We are told at 1 Kings 7:15-16 that Boaz and Jachin were 18 cubits high, each capped with a 5-cubit tall chapiter, making them 23 cubits overall. After the Babylonians sacked the temple, however, we are told in 2 Kings 25 and 17 that the chapiters were only 3 cubits high, a loss of 2 cubits, around 3.5 feet. After the Chaldeans destroyed the pillars, the brass capitals are again said to be 5 cubits in height in Jerusalem, 52:22. The simple explanation for the discrepancy is that the 3-cubit description was a transcription error, and in any case, that it has nothing to do with the whereabouts of the Ark. Why enjoy a nice shave with oakum, though, when a much more elaborate speculation is available? Theorists point out that Boaz and Jachin were cast hollow. Masonic tradition informs us that they were done so to serve as a fireproof receptacle for the secrets of our order. A system of sand hydraulics has been envisioned whereby the chapiters pushed down a piston onto a long lever below the temple. At the other end, the lever pushed up on an elevator from the floor of the Sanctum Sanctorum. The high priest then loaded the ark into an elevator and released the sand chamber below to lower the elevator down until its top once again formed part of the floor of the chamber. A secret passageway provided egress for the priests and the ark. Kind of a national treasure, Indiana Jones little tidbit. Next, I wanted to read a piece about the history of going dark in the summer months. The following is from Masonic Lodge of Education, your guide to understanding Freemasonry. The Masonic term, go dark, means that a lodge ceases to operate as a lodge. When a lodge goes dark, or is said to have gone dark, it either 1. Ceases to exist as a lodge, permanently closes its doors, or 2. Went dark and ceased to have stated meetings for an agreed-upon period of time. Now, traditionally, this occurs in farming communities, wherein, when a large number of the lodge's members are farmers and must tend to their crops during the summer, it is agreed that the lodge should go dark, or no meetings, until fall when their crops have been harvested. This also applies to other trades and livelihoods, such as if a large number of the lodge members are fishermen and are at sea for periods of time, or military lodges whose members are deployed. Also, some lodges go dark for a period of time each year. Some lodges choose not to go dark during any period of time during the year. And some lodges go dark or do not have stated meetings, especially during the summer. And members are delegated to tend to other Masonic duties, such as large job lodge maintenance, cleaning, polishing, or stripping of the lodge floors, paints, etc. Cleaning up and mowing or trimming at Masonic cemeteries and widows' homes, visiting the elderly, or those in nursing homes and hospitals. Highway cleanup, community, partnerships, charitable acts, etc. So I hope that helps to understand why your lodge, if you've never asked, if it does go dark, or if you've heard of a friend's lodge that maybe goes dark, these are some possible reasons why. My lodge, however, never really goes dark. We're busy pretty much year-round.
Freemason conspiracies.
This week, I have Freemasonry in the Oak Island Mystery. Freemasonry connected to Oak Island? The connections between the Atlantic seaboard and the crusading order of the Knights Templar has been implied and written about for decades. Whether you are one of the supporters of the theory that the Templars landed and made headquarters anywhere from Stallerton, Nova Scotia, Canada to Rhode Island, USA, and points further south, there is no shortage of books that make the connection. did Prince Henry Sinclair arrive in Guysborough, Nova Scotia, with hundreds of knights in 1398? The government of Nova Scotia believes he did. As a testament to this fact, you can find large monuments to the explorer in the area that Sinclair called Trinity Harbor. Did the knights explore the coast of Cape Breton on their way to Stellarton? Author Andrew Sinclair has argued that a 13th century cannon found in Louisbourg Harbor, or Cape Breton, is proof that they did exactly that. Were the Templars escaping the port of La Rochelle, France, with priceless treasure that was subsequently buried at the place called Oak Island? Some of the most thought-provoking involve the Freemasons. Oak Island is an island situated in Mahone Bay, 50 miles west of Halifax. In the summer of 1795, Daniel McGinnis discovered a large oak tree on the island. Sometime long before, one big branch had been lopped off several feet from the trunk, and there was evidence that something had been suspended from that branch. Directly beneath the cutoff branch, there was a depression in the ground indicating that in the past, this ground had been disturbed and through the years had settled somewhat. If the Templars had been using the Nova Scotian mainland as a training ground during the Crusades and mining the minerals, primarily titanium, which they forged in their overs forged by the local coal deposits, it's possible. On the other hand, is Oak Island the repository for the pirate treasure of Captain Kidd? But then, most pirates were Freemasons in the 18th century, and that was taken from an article on hubpages.com. This week's famous Freemason, Vannevar Bush, 1890 to 1974. An electrical engineer, Vannevar Bush is best remembered for his 1945 landmark essay, As We May Think, in the Atlantic Monthly, in which he envisioned hypertext as used by the internet. Scientist and developer of the first electromagnetic analog computer. In 1939, Bush, a worshipful master in the Massachusetts Richard C. McLaurin Lodge, was appointed president of the Carnegie Institution of Washington. As such, he assumed considerable influence with the U.S. government in military and scientific research. Bush was involved in the development and proposed use of the atomic bomb, and as the alleged head of the Majestic 12, the purported code name of a secret committee of scientists, leaders, and officials formed by President Harry Truman, Bush is rumored to have investigated UFO activity in the wake of the Roswell incident, the supposed crash of an alien aircraft in New Mexico in 1947. The secrets his fellow lodge members may have heard are almost too immense to contemplate. Bush was appointed chairman of the National Defense Research Committee in the year 1940. He was a director of the Office of Scientific Research and Development in 1941. Bush taught at the university and later at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology at Cambridge. He also served as president from 1939 to 1955 of the Carnegie Institution and chairman from 1946 to 1947 of the Joint Research and Development Board. Worshipful Master Richard C. McLaurin Lodge, Cambridge, Massachusetts. That's it for this week. Remember to find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Whence Came You. Add us to your circle and email us at wcypodcast@gmail.com and visit the website at wcypodcast.blogspot.com for links to all of it, including our streaming podcast app for Apple and Android devices. Be safe and have a wonderful week, everyone. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
Just the way it is. things will never change, change. That's just the way it is. Oh, but don't you believe them. Just the way it is. Some things will never change, never change. That's just the way it is.